leadership, Brother Jim, and he was just telling me about another gentleman that he visited and hadn't been here in years. And he said, you know, I haven't been there in just, I can't remember the last time I was at church, but I need to. I'll be there Sunday. Amen. So just ask and shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened. God bless you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. How to live like a Christian. How to live like a Christian. Our working walk. We talked about our worship walk. Talked about our wedded walk. Our we walk. That's the children, the wee ones. And now our working walk. Someone said our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. I don't know if I can say it again without messing it up. Our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Ephesians 4:1. The Bible tells us that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so in chapter 4, chapters 1 through 3, if you remember in Ephesians, dealing with doctrinal position and our stand in the principles of God's word and who we are as a believer in Jesus Christ. And then chapter 4 takes a turn, not just who we are, but what we're to do about it and how we're to live that out in our life. And so now we're talking about work. Boy, that's a four-letter word, work. Look, please, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master, capital M, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." As we look into this passage, we're mindful that you and I have to work. The Bible says if a man does not work, neither should he eat, as far as the biblical opinion. And we should provide for our own, and if we don't provide for our own, then we're worse than an infidel and all that kind of thing. And yet today our world expects a free handout. Our world expects someone to take care of them. They feel they're entitled. They feel they have certain rights. And so the Bible speaks to believers who are in a culture that is much different than our culture today. You know, they are servants. They are bond servants, indentured servants, slaves. And we say, oh, that's terrible, that's awful, you know, a terrible thing. I want you to understand something. The Lord is giving some principles from His Word, and they apply despite whatever culture, despite whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And so with that in mind, I'd like to remind you of different types of systems, different types of governments. You might find this interesting. This is about two cows. What if you have two cows? Under socialism, if you have two cows, you give one to your neighbor. In communism, if you have two cows, you give both of them to the government, and the government gives you some milk. In communism. In Nazism, if you have two cows, the government shoots you and keeps the cows. In capitalism, if you have two cows, you sell one and buy a bull. You can think on that. You can think on that. There's different ways of working, and not everyone is in our kind of society. Not everyone is in our kind of government. But let me tell you something. God's word works globally. Doesn't matter our background. Doesn't matter, oh yeah, preacher, that sounds good for you, but if you just were where I am, you would understand why I can't serve God, why I can't do everything that God tells me to do, you know. You don't have to plead your case to me. I'm not your judge. Amen. We will all stand before the judge of all the earth, either as saved believers, the judgment seat of Christ, for reward, or as lost, unsaved people plunged into the lake of fire. We'll all stand and give an account. And so he deals with servants. He deals with those, and in our society today, praise God, slavery has been abolished. It's not a welcome thing, and Christianity agrees with that, by the way. Because, you see, at the heart of Christianity is equality of mankind. And that's at the heart of Christianity. And so I'm thankful for that. At the heart of Christianity, we all are accountable to the Lord, and equally so. But here in part number one, we deal with the servants. And if you want to, think of, instead of the word servant, if you want to think of employee, That'll be fine. Because you're either an employer or you are an employee. And if you are retired, you are an employee of the government. If you receive that check from Social Security, you have to do what they say in order to keep that check coming. Christian workers must obey their employers. Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, there's another four-letter word, obey. But God says, just as children obey your parents in the Lord, there's an authority pattern set up. So likewise, employers have been given a position of authority over employees, and there's this order and this structure and all of this. So servants, employees, be obedient to them that are your employers or your masters. And we need to be fulfilled to submit. We need to be fulfilled to submit to God's order and God's plan. To not fight against that, not chafe against God's authority, not chafe against God's plan. He's able to change things. I want you to remember, he's talking to people who are serving unbelievers. He's talking to folks, talking to Christians, some of whom the Apostle Paul has led to the Lord, and they are a slave, and it is not illegal, it is not wrong for a master to mistreat or to abuse that servant. It is not illegal. They can do with that because that servant is viewed as property of that master. And yet, the Apostle Paul says that God says, for me to write down here, obey your master. So it doesn't get a whole lot worse than that. You know, we criticize things that we don't understand about our boss, and we talk about things that we wish to do it another way, and it's just terrible, and hate to go to work, and all that kind of thing. Shame on us. When's the last time that we've been flogged? When's the last time that we've been beaten? Oh, I understand that they can dock our pay. I understand that they can fire us. I understand all those kinds of things. But as far as losing your life on the job because, you know, the master, the employer doesn't like you, this is a terrible state of affairs. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Now, notice what he says here. If you are a slave, if you are a servant, in God's eyes, just remember something. He has set you free. You're free from the bondage of sin. If you are free, if you're a Roman citizen, if no one owns you, understand this, you are a bond slave to Jesus Christ. You're a servant to Christ. Equalizing the playing field, if you will, okay? So the Apostle Paul is saying, don't use your station or your position in life as an excuse to not serve God, to not obey Him. Just keep on and be consistent. So be fulfilled to submit. He says there, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. According to the flesh. Now, we're going to see where this factors in spiritually. But that means he's saying, you know, if your employer, if your master says, I want you to do this, I want you to do it that way. You don't have to pray about it. You have to obey it. You have to do it according to the flesh. So let's just go on. Number two, we are to fear and to respect. The Bible says, according to the flesh, verse 5, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Now, I want you to understand something in the context. I don't believe that he's telling us to fear our boss. I don't believe he's telling them to fear their master and tremble at their master. I believe in the context, you'll see that we fear and we tremble Almighty God. We have that reverence. And so God has placed us in a position to serve, in a position to work, and he's given us something to do, and we are serving, you're going to find out in a moment, we are serving God with fear and trembling. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. With reverence, serving God. So we get our directives, we get our orders from a human being, but we serve God. That's how all the different ones in the past did it. This thing of fearing God. Do you remember David? Whenever David was anointed by Samuel, you remember the anointed David ended up later standing before Goliath? God used him to take down public enemy number one of the Philistines when everyone else was cowering and hiding. And then he became a successful general there in King Saul's army. And just victory after victory and blessing after blessing and such jealousy rolled up into King Saul, he wanted to kill David. And David had a chance, more than one. He had chances to take out King Saul, but he was afraid to do so. Why was he afraid to do so? Was he afraid of the retaliation? No, no. He had men that were faithful to him. Was he afraid that he would not succeed, that he could not kill King Saul? No, no, he knew he could. In fact, he proved it one time. Remember, he was back in a cave and hiding, and here comes King Saul. They've been looking for him, and King Saul goes into that cave to lay down, and he spends the night. And David goes out, and he cuts a part of the royal robe from him while he's snoring. And from a safe distance the next morning, he gets everyone's attention, and he talks to King Saul, and he says, I could have killed you, but I did not. I would not raise my hand against God's anointed. He feared God, and he had that holy reverence. 1 Peter 1:17 says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The Bible says in the end times that one of the examples and one of the symptoms of the end times is there'll be no fear of God before our eyes. As far as the world is concerned, they don't fear God. And that's why God's name should not be taken in vain. Because it just brings God down into the gutter, into every other attack and every other familiarity and all that kind of thing, and blaspheming his name. Nobody has any fear of God anymore. They are going to fear him. Revelation says that they're going to hide in the mountains from the face of him who cometh. So we see that we're to be fulfilled in submission. I think of Joshua about that, by the way. Joshua was Moses' minister. Joshua was Moses' servant. And as Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years, he faithfully obeyed and was right there, taking care of any problem, anything that Moses needed. He was his servant. He was his minister. Not wanting to climb the ladder. Fulfilled in submission and obedience. Number two, fear and respect. Fear and respect. Number three, we're to be focused at heart. The Bible says in verse 5, look at it with me, please. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Focused at heart. Focused at heart. Following Christ. Focused at heart. Singleness. The Bible says, Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Focused. Now, you know that you can be looking at something and see certain things, but you can focus on something else. You understand that? It's amazing how that whenever I took driver's ed, Coach Turner was our teacher, and driving around the little streets and avenues and all that kind of thing, that's one thing. But he told us that next week on Monday we're going to drive on the interstate, and that frightened me. It really did. I was barely 16 years old, and going to drive on the interstate, and it scared me. And here's what he told us. He said, "Now, don't look at where you're at right here and where the car is in between the lines. Look way down the road. Keep your eyes way down the road, and you'll be amazed at how that you will stay right in between the lines right here. Stay focused way down the road." May I tell you today, as Christians, we need to be focused on eternity, and the person in eternity is Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Him. And so many of these other things that we're worried about, man, they'll just take care of themselves. Focused at heart. Don't be distracted by the things that will happen. Don't you remember what Peter did? Remember, he was on the boat, and they were fearing for their lives, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And he said, "Fear not, it is I." Peter said, if it's you, Jesus, bid me to come to you on the water. He said, "Come." Now, that's amazing, but the thing that just really blows my mind is that Peter actually got out of the boat. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that. The waves are still going. The wind's blowing and all this kind of thing, and he got out of the boat. I'm going to talk to Peter about that. That's great faith. And when he got out of the boat, it was like he was walking on ice. You know, he just stood right on that water. It's amazing. But then he got distracted, didn't he? He had his eyes on Jesus. I don't know if a wave smacked him across the face. I don't know if the wind was just kind of knocked him off balance just a little bit as he was standing on the water. But he took his eyes off of Jesus and on to the storm. And when he looked around, he started to sink. And as soon as he started to sink, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus was right there. We need to stay focused on Jesus no matter what the trials come. I'm preaching to myself. I need this preaching. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Stay focused on Jesus. When your employees disappoint you, when your boss discourages you, when the occupation is running out and it seems like, what are you going to do because downsizing, all that kind of thing, and you're going to lose your job. In the midst of all of those things, please remember, Jesus is still there. Keep your eyes focused on Him. John 12:43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." We need his praise. Focused at heart, singleness of heart as unto Christ. Look at verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers." Not with eye service. What's that eye service have to do with? What do you think? Not with eye. Anybody have any ideas? Just think of the word I. Nobody? Venture a guess? Pardon? It's what? Outwardly. Okay. Not with eye service, outwardly. In what way outwardly? Things that are outward, then others can see, right? Okay? So he's saying you don't work in such a way that when people are watching, you work harder and work faster. And when people aren't, then you just back off or you just sit down and take a rest. Not with eye service. In other words, you're faithful. Why? Because you're not serving, listen, you're not serving the boss. You're serving Jesus Christ. You're obeying the boss, but you're serving Jesus Christ. That's a big difference. That helps with attitude. If Jesus Christ is the one that's your ultimate boss, he will never leave you, he will never lead you astray. And you can deal with the little problems that human beings bring you along the way because they're ultimately not the final authority. Faithful in labor. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're to be found faithful. It's required. Faithfulness. I think of a man named Daniel. Do you remember Daniel? The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, that his enemies can find none occasion nor fault in Daniel, for that he was, faithful. And beyond that, that there was an excellent spirit in him. An excellent spirit, not a prideful spirit, not a right spirit. I'm right, I'm always right, you're usually wrong. No, it's an excellent spirit. Didn't even say it was a perfect spirit. Didn't even say it was a perfect spirit. Daniel never claimed to be perfect. Daniel didn't die for us on the cross. Daniel was a man of like passions as we are. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. But it was an excellent spirit. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I really enjoyed. Now, I didn't see him all the time, okay? But I enjoyed when I got a paper back or when I got a test back. And it said 100%, and sometimes they would write the word excellent with an exclamation point. I loved that, you know. I loved the red being up in the top right-hand corner of the paper instead of all throughout the paper. That was Daniel. He had an excellent spirit in the midst of Nebuchadnezzar, in the midst of Darius and Cyrus and all those that he served under. Wickedness all around him. He did not let it get into him because he served the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since he was a young man taken away from his family all the way to in his late 80s. What an example of faithfulness. Faithful in labor. Not with eye service. And number five, favoritism to no one. Look at our verse again here. Verse number six, not with eye service, as men pleasers. As men pleasers. Not showing favoritism. Well, this manager, I really like this manager. This manager over here, he doesn't really care about us. I don't like that manager. I had favorite managers when I worked at the grocery store. I had guys that I liked, you know, and we kind of meshed. We got along. And other managers, I wondered how in the world they got in that position. And you know, you gotta obey them all. But some I like more than others. And I had a tendency to want to go the extra mile for the ones that I liked than not for the ones that I didn't. You know who I was serving? I was serving those managers. Now, for a Christian that is filled with the Spirit of God, every step can be on holy ground. Every service for God can be a ministry. No matter if you're throwing papers, or you're fixing plumbing, or you're running wiring, or you're debating a case in a court or whatever the case may be, whatever you're doing. It can be a spiritual ministry if you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Favoritism to no one. 1 Peter 2:18 and 19, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That should not happen to a Christian. They should not suffer wrongfully. Remember a guy named Joseph? He suffered wrongfully. I already mentioned Daniel. He got thrown in the den of lions, suffered wrongfully. I mean, you can just go down the list. Three Hebrew children. We will not bend. We will not bow. And we will not burn. But if God allows us to burn, be it known unto thee, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to your image. They got thrown in the fire furnace. Sometimes God puts us in a trial and in a fire to remind us that he's right there with us. We don't notice what God is doing for us in the spiritual realm until we desperately reach for him. And as we reach out to him, we find that he's right there. Until then, we got life handled. And we're just going on our own way and everything's fine. And we're not sure where God is, you know, but God sometimes puts us in a situation of desperation so that he can have a fellowship and a closeness with us. Fulfilled in submission, fear and respect, focused at heart, faithful in labor, favoritism to no one, and following Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ. Look, please, at the end of verse 6. Doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. Are you telling me that auditing these books is God's will? Well, hopefully you have prayed and said, God, what job do you want me to have? And God opened up doors and God enabled you to learn some things, and God directed and guided and gave you wisdom and instruction, and you've sharpened your axe and you've done great things along the way. And yeah, I believe this is what God wants me to do. Okay, you're doing God's will from the heart. Follow Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor, your work. Well, I don't think that my job really has an impact on too many people. Are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for the Lord? A man walked up, and they were building a large sanctuary, a large church building. And there were three men, and they had chisels in their hands, and they were cutting stone. And the man walked up, and he said to the first guy, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm earning $10 an hour." Walked up to the next guy. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm cutting out a stone." Walked up to the third guy, doing the same thing. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a church." All of them are doing the same thing. They were all cutting rock. But one guy had a great perspective of what his labor was doing. Follow Jesus Christ. Number 7, forward the effort. The Bible says in verse number 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. With goodwill. With goodwill. You ever had an employee that was kind of undermining the effort and the work? Just kind of nitpicking and taking away and stealing this and stealing that and causing problems and that kind of thing in amongst. It says, with good will. with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. I mentioned Joseph. Book of Genesis. It's interesting that 25% of the book of Genesis has to do with a man named Joseph. One-fourth of the critical, pivotal book of the entire Old Testament, Genesis, the book of beginnings. And Joseph is in Potiphar's house. If anyone had reason to have an attitude with God, it'd been him. His family had turned against him. His brothers wanted to kill him. And here he's serving as a slave. He has been sold to Potiphar as a slave in Potiphar's house. And he has a little menial task to do. And as he does that task, and he does it with excellence, the master notices. He sees someone that he can trust. There's something about him that's different. And so he gives him a little more responsibility. And then more responsibility. And then more responsibility. To the point that Potiphar did not even know what his bank balance was. He didn't know what was in his house, the Bible says. Because Joseph managed his household. A slave. Do you think that Joseph was really doing that for Potiphar? No. No. I'll give you proof of that. Because whenever the temptation to sin came with Potiphar's wife, you know what he said? How can I do this thing and sin against God? He was serving God in his life in all the mundane types of things. And so he saw this as a disconnect from Almighty God. I'm not going to do that. I can't live without the Lord in my life. That's why he ran from Potiphar's wife. Because every day was a holy day. Every step was on sacred ground. Forward the effort. Where God has placed you, it may not be the greatest job in the world. You know, you might look around and be envious at someone else and their position and what they get to do and what they get paid and all those kinds of things. But be faithful and forward the effort where God has put you. Part two has to do with employers. And we'll deal with this quickly here. You're either, as I said, an employer or an employee. So in your notes there, part one was Christians must obey their employer. Part two is Christians, employers, must obey their master. They have to obey their master. Ultimately, we understand the Bible makes it very clear in verse number 9 that master, capital M, that's referring to Almighty God, the creator, the sustainer of heaven and earth. Employers are not above the law. Employers and government officials and all that kind of thing, they will all stand before Almighty God one day. One day. By the way, I don't know what's in store for our country. I have no clue. I do believe that this election took a lot of people by surprise. I really do. And they thought they had it in the bag. They thought, you know, and America, as far as morals, I'm not talking about political party, I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about with morality and right and wrong and these kinds of things, that America has been given a reprieve. Christians, churches that are truly trying to serve God, we've been given a second chance, an opportunity, a Nineveh moment, if you will. What we do with it, shame on us if we don't take advantage of it. But what happens if everything changes? What happens if the whole atmosphere of the United States of America changes in a few years? What happens if there's a litmus test that if churches preach against and take a stand against homosexuality or any other topic that they want to give, that they're going to claim that that's an enemy of the state, hate mongers, whatever the case may be, and try to shut those churches up or shut them down, one of the two. What are we going to do? Hopefully, we're just going to continue on. And if we cannot meet here in a building like this, we'll continue meeting like they do in China, like they've done in Russia for so long. And we'll continue worshiping and serving God. And in that capacity, the Apostle Paul is going to have very little sympathy for us, because he's going to say, hey, that's what we dealt with every day. We're spoiled as Americans. We're blessed. Number one, as employers, as masters, we're to follow God's wise vocational rules. Look at verse 9, please. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. The same things. What same things? The same seven things we just went over. Masters, number one, have to go back and do all seven. Christian masters, Christian employers. Well, what if I have an employee that's not saved and they take advantage of all that kind of thing? God didn't specify that only do good to those that, you know, do good to you. As an employer, yes, you might be taken advantage of. But you serve the Lord Christ. Leviticus 19, verse 13, and this is one of many verses. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. I mean, God has a lot to say about taking care of your people and keeping your word and all these kinds of things. So follow God's wise vocational rules. Just as the employee is to do, so the employer is supposed to do. Number two, forsake man's wrath for verbal restraint. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, forbearing threatening. Forbearing threatening. If you don't do this, you're fired. Forbearing threatening. Now, this was to masters who had every right. They had purchased this person. They could say anything they wanted to. No one told them that they could or could not say. How dare you say that I... No. This is what God is saying. Forbearing threatening. Be like Christ to them as an employer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And last, number 3, we're to finish our walk with vindication or reward. I want you to see this in verse 9, the end of the verse. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So it says, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master, capital M, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Oh, well, you're a manager. You have all that authority. Well, you did the best you could do. No. Malachi 3:5 says, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Vindication. There's going to be a day, by the way, there's going to be a day when the widow, when the hireling, the employee that was mistreated, there's going to be a day when God's going to even the scales. There's going to be a day when God is going to settle the score. And that kind of helps us to be able to trust God and to walk in our working life in a vocation wherewith we are called. Well, I'm a mailman. I'm a garbage collector. I'm a secretary. I'm a teacher. Are you telling me that really what I am doing is a spiritual effort? I'm a housewife. Really, I'm not, but you might be. You have an opportunity to shape a whole generation. you might be rocking in the cradle of the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. You might be raising the next president of the United States. You don't know. You don't know. But you have an opportunity to make an impact. And so this core part of our life, work, the Lord dealt with this. Not an easy passage for me. Because when you point at someone, someone wisely said, you got three fingers pointing back at right at you. Not an easy passage. I've been an assistant pastor, associate pastor. I've been a pastor. I've been an associate pastor again. Now I'm a pastor again. And it bears a lot of heavy burden responsibility upon my shoulders to be the pastor of staff. And I need your prayers. I need your prayers for wisdom. But understand this. In the darkest of night, no matter where you may be, no matter what station, no matter what position and what you have to do in life, God's there to guide you. God's there to lead us. And in ways and places that we've never been, God will always lead us in the right way. Let's stand together, please. We're on the victory side. And I thank God for His precious word. And I'm glad that it only did not only deal with the nice, pretty things, but also the sometimes the ugly side of life. And we just have to do what God says, the way God says it. And God will bless. I'll close with this. A Christian from China, a Chinese Christian, heard that what they were doing was not understood by the Americans. Heard that their stand for Christ and their sacrifice for Christ in China. And they said, well, that just wouldn't work in America. The Chinese Christian said this. He said, I don't believe you've tried. I don't believe you've tried. Because God's way always works. Lord Jesus, bless, I pray, as we continue to learn to serve you in a more real way every day of our life. In our wedded walk, in our worship walk, in our we walk with our children, and our work walk. Lord, next time as we talk about our warfare, Lord, prepare us as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Those of you who are going to help in the mowing tomorrow and the cleaning tomorrow.